Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yasoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Niravana Chari Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Prabhupada Jagacharya Asotra Sattva Shri Shrimad Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki
Jai
Iskan Pandu Acharya Shri Prabhupada Ki
Jai
Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Prabhupada Jagacharya Asotra Sattva Shri Shrimad Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Namacharya Shri Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Saraswati Guru Bhakta Binda Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopi Nath Shama Kun Radha Kun Giri Govardhan Ki Shri Maya Pradam Ki Shri Vrindavan Dam Ki Ganga Mai Ki Yamuna Mai Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Tulsi Devi Ki Anantakoti Vaishnavinda Ki Shri Harinam Sankirtan Ki Granta Raja Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Samabeda Bhaktivinda Ki Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol All glories to assembled devotees All glories to assembled devotees All glories to assembled devotees All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gurunga All glories to Shri Prabhupada. Oh, I got it. This is nearsighted. So I go, Om Gyana, okay. Om Gyana Tumrandisya Ganajana Shakriya Chakshu Unitanya Na Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Titanya Mano Vishtan Shta Kitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mayam Dadati Sva Padanti Tam. I'll just do the first one. So in English, I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisance unto him, almost Sri Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who is established within this material world, the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet. And there's a lot more prayers here too. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Gyana Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So good to go now, right? Okay. I am going to butcher the Sanskrit. Vish. Shrija Tatra Tat Sarvam
Vishrija Tatra
Dukula Valayadikam. Nirmamo Nirakhakara. Sanchina Shesha Bandana. I can't even pronounce it in English, so. synonyms. Yeah. Vishrija. Relinquishing. Tatra. All those. Tat. That. Sarvam. Everything. Dukula. Belt. Vala Adikam. And bangles. Nirmama. Uninterested. Nirahankara. Unattached. Sanchina. Perfectly cut off. Ashesha Bandana.
Unlimited attachment.
So translation is, Maharaj Yudhisthira once relinquished all his garments, belt, and ornaments of the royal order and became completely disinterested and unattached to everything. So, purport by Srila Prabhupada. To become purified of material contamination is the necessary qualification for becoming one of the associates of the Lord. No one can become an associate of the Lord or can go back to Godhead without such purification. Maharaj Yudhisthira, therefore, to become spiritually pure, at once gave up his royal opulence, relinquishing his royal dress and garments. The kashaya, or saffron loincloth, of a sannyasi indicates freedom from all attractive material garments, and thus he changed his dress accordingly. He became disinterested in his kingdom and family, and thus became free from all material contamination or material designation. People are generally attached to various kinds of designations. The designations of family, society, country, occupation, wealth, position, and many others. As long as one is attached to such designations, he is considered materially impure. The so-called leaders of men in the modern age are attached by national consciousness, but they do not know that such false consciousness is also another designation of the material conditioned soul. One has to relinquish such designations before one can become eligible to go back to Godhead. Foolish people adore such men who die in national consciousness, but here is an example of Maharaj Yudhisthira, a royal king, who prepared himself to leave this world without such national consciousness. And yet he is remembered even today, because he was a great pious king, almost on the level of the personality of Godhead, Sri Rama. And because people of the world were dominated by such pious kings, they were happy in all respects, and it was quite possible such emperors to rule the world. So,
Translation once again. Maharaj Yudhisthira at once relinquished all his garments, belt, and ornaments of the royal order and became completely disinterested and unattached to everything. Well, now I do. Okay, Hare Krishna. I'm just going to go, hopefully. Bunch of couple choose. Oh, I got to write those down, man. I think this is my other paper. All right, bunch of couple choose. All right, I'm going to have to beg all the devotees to forgive my offenses, past, present, and future, or at least for the next 45 minutes. Huh? You can't what? Oh, okay. Well, we'll find out. one thing is, so Maharaj, it was one thing interesting. So Maharaj Yudhisthira Prabhupada notes, he's famous. These people are famous, still well known, almost as much as Lord Rama himself, at least within Indian culture. Certainly, even in Western culture, people know Rama. Actually, even in other cultures as well. But here, this caught my mind. So Maharaj Yudhisthira relinquished all his garments, belts, and ornaments of the royal order. So one thing he renounced was his bangles. So, maybe that's one of the problems with so-called leaders in the modern world. They don't have bangles to renounce. I mean, if President Trump had bangles, it would have helped. I don't know. Anyways, maybe not. But it's certainly easy to renounce it because he didn't have them. More seriously, perhaps, hopefully. On one hand, Prabhupada's talking about how to renounce material consciousness, to let it go, to outgrow it, is a necessity for. Developing this relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, where one becomes qualified to go back to the spiritual world. And it caught me as a little bit of a twist here, because Maharaj Yudhisthira and the Pandavas are already associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And yet here, I guess as a devotee, he was feeling he wasn't, and he had to, double down here and go through this exercise. Also, as the king, and as part of their project here, I suppose, is to set this example, as great men do, common men follow. One thing we're not seeing here is like Maharaj Yudhisthira and the Pandavas thinking, well, I'm devotees, and I really don't have to worry about this stuff. They're definitely doubling down here, it was just an exercise. Geez, I got to renounce everything now. I think the term's almost up, and maybe I did lose the next election. I don't know, and maybe I should leave. They really—it wasn't even just that. It was they're at least what caught me was this pastime, this that we're studying here within the context of the Mahabharata. They were such close friends of Krishna, and their life story was so intense and so entwined with Krishna, and it sort of. That story arc had come to its conclusion, their whole lives were like entwined with Krishna, and now that Krishna has wrapped it up and gone, what to speak of all the other yadus, it was like, it's over, it's all over now, and even though they were so immersed, even in external activities, by anyone's estimation, they were, ready to do it. They were ready to let go. It wasn't like, my God, what did I hear back in third grade in Gurukul? What was that again? They were ready to do it. They were ready. They were right on that edge, all along. So even though they were immersed in so many worldly activities, bangles included, by anyone's estimation, it wasn't, they were already, it's time to go. It's time to ride off in the sunset, to put it in American context. There's something about those less less focused cultural tropes, perhaps, that resonate. And in one sense, you know, they were all ready to, my work is done here and it's time to write off. It's not like I'm the hero and now I'm going to hang around and get free, you know, soda pop at the saloon or something. I'm done, I'm not attached to the results. I'm just doing it for the greater good, whatever. So much for Westerns. But here you see Maharaj, you just hear all the Pandavas, the queens, Kunti as well, Subhadra, you know, the time's up. We've done our work. And again, they were so immersed in any conceivable material facility, you know, didn't hold them back. I mean, so I guess they were devotees all along. You know, they were really deeply immersed in this relationship. And to whatever degree, they may or may not have to have become purified of material contamination. They didn't have that much work to do. They gave it up pretty quick and just time's up. We're heading for the hills. And it wasn't just, you know, again, this is my limited appreciation here. But, you know, you're reading through the chapter and they're sincerely distraught that Krishna is gone. I mean, these people aren't people who are like living from one therapy session to the next, just to hold it together. They're very competent, well-balanced, tough, what if you want, you know, as Kshatriyas, even the women as well, they weren't no wilting wallflowers at all. These are very substantive people who have been through and seen a lot. And this was, it affected them deeply, very deeply. And anyway, so all together, they, you know, time to move on. Didn't have any qualms about letting go and move and taking that next step. And here's the deal. You know, we're all going to do this whether we're attached or not. I mean, because these things have a shelf life, and it's not like just the body's gone, but you know, within conditional life, all our activities are, you know, it's connected to this form we currently have, you know, our relationships, I'm the this and you're the that, and you know, this is our, we identify to some degree, even if we're unattached, you know, in my current situation, I am this and you're that, and we're interacting. But once you leave this body, and it's generally, you don't have much say about it, it's like time to go. You got to give all that up, and sometimes the thoughts come to me. I thought of death, and boy, that must really hurt. You know, you're a kid and you scrape your knee, and boy, that hurts. Or you get an owie and it's traumatizing. So death must be like that a million times. But as I'm getting older, you know, the one thought that's come to me is that I think, you know, you've lived a longer time, and you've developed relationships and you've done things and you've accumulated stuff and maybe you have some stature and I am, you know, whatever. And you have to give all that up. Everything, you know, for the last 50, 60, 80, 100, whatever, 1,000 years, you've been identifying, I'm this, this is my stuff, this is who I am, and all, everything you've known and think that you are, it's taken away. And the pain of that, so like sometimes they say, the pain of mental anguish is so much more intense. And this is even more than that. I mean, this is like, I mean, if someone's materially, like, this is it and all that ever can be, and you're still there, but it's all taken away, and then suddenly it's like you're going to have a bit of an identity crisis, to put it lightly. You know, like it must be incredibly, incredibly traumatizing. And then, you know, in the Bhagavatam, there's the picture, you know, the fellow's passing away, and the family's there, you know, going through their conniptions. I guess, is that a Yiddish word? But, you know, oh, you know, grandpa's dying. I wonder how much is in the... No, he's dying. I'm so sad. And the person's leaving, and they're seeing everybody's, you know, upset. And, you know, it's tough. It must be a very, you know, and then you're transitioning from, well, I'm not that anymore, but here I still am. And then perhaps you might have to go through some remedial classroom work in some... a warm environment, you know, I don't know if that is something you might have to deal with. That's going to be even more discombobulating. So death is quite an experience. from what we've heard. And but here we see examples of Maharaj Yudhisthira and the Pandavas and the women in the court, everybody. If anybody had something to be attached to, it would be them. Their whole life, they're struggling, this and that. They came out on top at the end. They got the kingdom, and now they have their comfortable life, and as far as it goes, well, that's it. Okay, that was fun. Time to move on. I mean, it wasn't like on that level. It didn't sound like on that level it was that difficult for them to give it up. They did do that, all of them. Gave it all up. They were disinterested in the kingdom and family. I mean, we were saying disinterested in family. I mean, that's a bit much sometimes in our present state. But let me tell you something, you're going to be taken away from the family. I don't care how much you love them. Within the context that we all identify now, it's going to be over, whether you like it or not. So it's not like you got to hate these people because you're all going to dump me or I'm going to dump you eventually. But, there is that little problem of becoming overly identifying with a certain context of these relationships. In a grander metaphysical sense of it, I mean, these relationships could well continue on into future designations in some level or another. I mean, even Prabhupada said, and again, he's talking to you probably, I don't remember the exact time he said this, but maybe to younger devotees. But at any rate, there's some truth to this, but the context might have been. But anyway, yeah, there's an ISKCON in the spiritual sky, we'll all meet again, and so forth in that context. But even within a more direct context, sometimes you may meet your spiritual master. I mean, we hear these things that the spiritual master never abandons the disciples. He'll come back and save them. It may not be the same context in some previous experience, but we've heard these things said, and I don't know exactly what it means in time and space, but we do hear these things said, so there's something to that, I'm sure. Or sometimes you just meet people and you really click with them, and it's like this. It's almost like, well, it's like we knew each other before. I mean, people say these things. I've known you all my life. Or sometimes you might come across people that, whoa, it's just not clicking in a very intense way. I mean, we see so many people within the context of our life, and we trip into these relationships, and it's like, whoa, picking up. Or another thought that comes to me is sometimes we come back to the devotional service, and it seems so easy at first. We're picking up where we left off. It's sort of like we're coming home for Christmas and catching up, you know. And then after a while, you know, we have to get back to where we left off and start working at it again, you know. But, you know, it's sort of like, you know, we had done this before, and it's like a memory coming back to us, and so that's nice. So things can continue on because really our consciousness, our real self, our real ego, that's eternal. And right now, within a conditional realm, it's a little bit compromised in where it's directed. And you know, we think this thing here, whatever thing we're currently negotiating, has some. I mean, it's, you know, we've all working with this. But you know, whether we want to wrap our mind around that or not, as something to directly consider in our lives, the thing is, these things are temporary, and you're going to have to leave, or it's going to be over, you know. So how to deal with that? Actually, there's a saying to acknowledge death, the temporality of existence is the first step in philosophizing. So it's a big deal. It's a big deal. But here, these people who, by all external indicators, had everything any conditioned soul could possibly desire, and it was like time to go. Okay, I'm good. You know, it wasn't like, wow, this is a big one. Let me go. You know, I got to go to therapy, and maybe I need a prescription drug or something to help me through this. I mean, they're just ready to go. They're ready. I mean, look, if you find yourself you need these things, whatever works, got nothing against it. But these people just were ready to go, and you know, they could shift gears. There wasn't, you know, they were ready to go. They conditioned all this. Okay, we got the so-called leaders thing here, and there's quite a lot of that in this chapter. One thing that I'd like to point out a bit Prabhupada uses the, he qualifies these scientists as another thing, so-called scientists. So there's, you know, there are leaders, there are scientists, and then Prabhupada's using this qualification, so-called leaders or scientists. So, I mean, it's not like this blanket condemnation necessarily that everybody who has a leader has got to be a bozo, you know, and we could just dump on them. He is qualifying that they're, you know, leaders or scientists or whatever, or Bhagavatam speakers, you know, so-called, you know, that they're going through the motions, but the substance isn't quite there. You know, it's a bit of a show, and the substance isn't there. And Prabhupada's launching into a specific critique of national consciousness. And this is a bit of a thing in the 20th century, that this sort of attachment to homeland took that specific shape, particularly after World War I, you know, Wilson and the 10 points. It was a bit of a thing where some of these old empires in Europe, Austrian-Hungarian Empire, and even the, they were broken up and turned into nation states. And it was a little bit idealized that, you know, if all the Czechs, you know, the Czechs and Slovakians, so that was a problem in the Czechoslovakia. And then they had to make Czech and Slovakia because you got to get them all. You know, anyways, we're not Czechs, we're not Slovakians. But there was a bit of a sense, you know, if you get all these somehow essentialize these cultures and give them their own political, you know, that would be a step forward that would create some kind of stability. And of course, also in the post-colonial period, of the 20th century after World War II, when a lot of these European holdings broke, you know, India got its independence in 47, I think, yep. And then, you know, we're going to build a nation state. So, you know, there's a practical, you know, we got to do it. I mean, there's things that need to be done, but, you know, if it gets oversold that, you know, becoming, you know, having this nation state, you know, whatever the country is, the state of confusion, perhaps. That's one state. That's a state. Whatever the country is, that in itself is really a destination that is going to create a permanent solution to the problems of human life. That is a bit much. You know, and the more we think that we're Indian or American or Russian or Chinese or Afghanistani or whatever. How do you say that? How would you say that? Afghanistani? So, huh? Afghan. So the more we think we're that, somehow we're going to, like, take care of business. But, you know, look, we can engage anything, but there was a bit of a thing in the 20th century where it was really kind of hyper oversold. It's always a thing, but particularly in the modern age, like he says here, and we're in post-modernity, but so they say. But it was a bit of a thing then. But the big thing is this false consciousness. If you're selling like some compromised consciousness, you know, because we're all Pakistanis and not Indians, or we're Indians and not Pakistanis, somehow that's like a big improvement over, you know, identifying with a province or a town or something else. You know, it's not in the eternal designation of the self. You know, we're just passing through these designations. Prabhupada would sometimes have quips. Someone builds a big skyscraper and he's so attached to it, and then he comes back as some, you know, mouse or something in the skyscraper so he can stay there. You come back as an animal in the country. There's problems with this national consciousness, and it's not the real consciousness. It doesn't last. At the time of death, as discussed earlier, it's going to be shifted around in a significant way. And since it's not the real, it's not a real essential designation of the self, it's going to cause some trauma there at the time of death because it's going to be taken away. So by pumping up this national consciousness. I mean, there's a time and place for everything. You know, everything can be therapeutically applied. But by pumping it up in a sense that this in itself is a solution at the expense of other solutions, perhaps, that's really problematic. So And they were kind of, and there was a bit of an overdoing it. I mean, it's still done. It's always done. I mean, people are attached. But here is Prabhupada's criticizing so-called leaders who really overdo it. Oh, and I mean, it's not even like an Indian nationalist or something is a problem, or an American, you know, I don't know, whatever. Then you had those totalitarian I mean, they're still around, but real big problem mid-20th century, early, you know, 40s, so forth. Well, in World War I, there was a big problem, you know, Germany versus Russia, you know, whatever. And then mid-20th century with the World War II and this fascism, you know, it can really jump the rails, even in, you know, it's problem. It can be problematic. But from a spiritual perspective, it's really not essential to the self. Even if you have some benign form of this national consciousness, you're kind of missing the point. You know, foolish people, you know, then to adore such men who die for national consciousness. You know, maybe you even have this groovy country, you know, someplace where everything is just peaches and cream and a hop, skip, and a jump. It's still temporary, and you're going to have to move on. All the citizens of this, you know, paradisical, you know, imaginary place, you know, Big Rock Candy Mountain or whatever this place is, you're going to have to leave. You know, it's not going to be a problem. And the more attached you are to this, the more the pain, you know, in an unbalanced way, the more that pain and confusion will be when it's time to go. And we all get to go, as sure as death. So here's, you have these examples of the Pandavas, Yudhisthira, royal king, who prepared himself to leave. You know, I'm sure it wasn't, you know, at least within the context of human experience, it wasn't as easy as all that, just as I'm talking here. But, you know, they were pretty locked in and focused. And for someone who might be attached, they had a lot to work through. But work through it they did, and relatively efficiently. As far as the chapter goes, it was within about 5 or 6 verses they got it done. So that's pretty quick. It wasn't like 18,000 verses, you know, and then they agonized. They got it done pretty quick. And part of it is, you know, I want to be spiritually conscious so I don't have to come back. Part of it is they really genuinely miss Krishna, and it's enough. He's gone. We're done. You know, there's nothing here that's really like, why am I hanging around here anymore? You know, they really weren't that genuinely interested in sticking around. Or trying to, or let me put it this way. Here's a thought. Sometimes if you're in a mundane relationship and that's intense, you know, usually younger, you know, with a romantic thing, and then if it doesn't work, you know, if there's a break in it, and you know, it's like there was so much sense of identity and this coupling and of course the energy that comes with that, and then if there's a break, it can be really disrupting, and your sense, you know, suddenly, you know, all the fun things that you took pleasure in seem, you know, we hear so many mundane songs, you know, the world seems empty without you, all that kind of stuff, and perhaps, you know, we've all experienced that. I mean, it actually feels pretty real, you know. It's like, you know, we used to eat ice cream together, and now I can't even look at the stuff, you know, it just reminds me, and it's like, where's the fun? Because actually the real fun wasn't in eating the ice cream. The fun was in the enjoyment of the exchange of affection, and now that that's broken, what's the point of the ice cream? You know, I mean, all right, ice cream kind of cool, but it's really, it facilitated the exchange, you know, it facilitated exchange. So, you know, without Krishna, what's the point of all this stuff? You know, it's just no, it ain't no fun anymore. It's no fun anymore. So they were here. So I printed off the verses for this chapter to give context. So I guess Arjuna, well, he came back. He went to Dwarka to check up on Krishna, and then, you know, he got the news Krishna had left. And long story short, he's coming back, and he's kind of trying to explain it to Yudhisthira. And so and Arjuna was distraught. You know, he was grief stricken because of his strong feelings of separation with Krishna, and over and above all, Maharaj's speculative inquiries. So I guess, and then he's trying to explain it to Yudhisthira, and it's like, this is like intense. And here's funny. Here Prabhupada uses the word speculative inquiries. So I don't think Yudhisthira Maharaj is speculating. Gee, is Krishna God or not? You know, am I a jiva or what? You know, maybe I'm an Indian. You know, he wasn't like speculating like that, but he was like inquiring, did Krishna do this? Did Krishna do that? So there's different, sometimes we get hung up on that word, or at least we explore its meaning. So in different contexts, it means different things. I mean, at least my appreciation is that we're talking about speculation in the sense of no speculation. It's, you know, it means in a positive sense that we feel very comfortable with the Siddhantic conclusions of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, and we're really chugging along and walking in on the bhakti program, as opposed to, well, maybe I should be doing something else, or maybe God's impersonal, or maybe I should become, you know, a Zoroastrian, or, you know, I mean, not that there's anything that could be great, but I mean, if you're really locking in on Chaitanya's program, it's like, I'm good, I'm comfortable, let's play ball. And we're, you know, it's the time, what was that, is this song? The time to hesitate is through, that kind of a thing. So, but here, you know, Yudhishthira was wondering, is, you know, and probably Arjuna, gosh knows what the Arjuna's trying to tell him, and Yudhishthira's expecting the worst. It's like a Dear John letter kind of thing, and doesn't really want to tell him directly, maybe. And what are you saying? You know, my, you know, it's a bit of a thing going on. You know, Arjuna, due to grief, Arjuna's mouth was drying up, and his heart was drying up. You know, like, whoa, you know, it's intense. It's intense. You know, these guys, these great souls who happen to be guys, you know, Arjuna, O King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who treated me exactly like an intimate friend, has left me alone. You know, they're feeling it. They're feeling it. It was, you know, anyway, so Arjuna is, and then, you know, Arjuna's remembering their time together. These people are really distraught. I mean, it's not like they're working it up for a performance in a play. And we say these are pastimes. They are. But these people, it's not like they're, I don't know how actors do that. I mean, really good actors. Like, you watch these movies, it's like it's in real time. You enter into it, and they just turn it on and off. Cut. Camera's on, and, you know, they just turn it on and off. People can do that. But it seems, I guess you're so in tune to the emotional experience of human, even just, I don't know how they do it. But here, these people are genuinely feeling it, by all accounts. Their separation. All is, you know, he's remembering, I was like this, I was this, Krishna did this, Krishna did that, I'm so in debt to him. Here's another one. By Lord Krishna's grace, all these great generals, I mean, these, and, you know, Arjuna was on the battlefield. I mean, it wasn't like he was fighting against some, you know, the junior varsity team here, or even the varsity team, or the state champions. I mean, these were the world champions, you know, all of them, there's hundreds of them. And he's like, you know, bringing them, he's taking them all on. And they're all directing their invincible weapons against me, but by his, Lord Krishna's grace, they cannot even touch a hair on my head. So, you know, he's really recognizing this. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj, the supreme deity of Lord Nrisimhadev, was unaffected by the weapons of the demons used against him. So, not a blade of grass moves. And if you really locked into that relationship with Krishna, I mean, it's one thing to watch the Mahabharata movie. It's another thing to be someplace where everybody's actually shooting at you, you know? And it's like, whoa, those bullets are real, you know? But he's really comfortable. He's in the zone here with that, recalling it. And he was locked in. Krishna was by his side. He just did what he had to do. It didn't worry him with his, here he goes. Now I'm separate from his friend and dear most well-wisher. Now I'm separated. My heart appears to be void of everything. You know, these guys aren't just, you know, creating prayers. So this would be a nice prayer for my class on Sunday morning or something. These guys, you know, it's like someone's in pain and they just have to talk. You know, it's almost like that. At least my own appreciation of it. They just had to talk it out between themselves. And then it says here, O King, those... Now I'm attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the person of Godhead because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. All circumstances of time and space, not just these are groovy instructions for people who live in the Middle East, you know, in a desert or something. All time and space. These are instructions that are connected to the essential concerns of the self that is beyond time and space. So then Sukadeva Goswami says, thus being deeply absorbed in thinking of the instructions of the Lord, you know, in the past times, which were imparted with great intimacy of friendship. You know, this is his buddy here, you know. In thinking of his lotus feet, Krishna's mind became pacified and freed from all contamination. Arjuna's constant remembrance of lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna rapidly increased his devotion, and as a result, all the trash of his thoughts subsided. And because of the Lord's pastimes and activities, and because of his absence, you know, it appeared that Arjuna forgot the instructions left by the personality Godhead, but factually, this was not the case. And again, he became a lord of the senses. This is a bit of a theme here at Arjuna's pastimes, you know, on the Gita, on the battlefield. Actually, I remember reading, I'll wrap it up with this. I remember reading my first book I read was Perfection Yoga, Krishna Arjuna in the cover, and Summary Study of the Gita. And I'm reading it, and I was thinking, boy, there's a lot in here. You know, there's a lot in here. And boy, Arjuna's really freaking out. You know, I caught myself. I was actually, because then Prabhupada said, but don't think that you and Arjuna are in the same situation. You know, he's a great soul, and you're maybe, perhaps not. And then I caught myself, well, maybe I am thinking that, you know. I was just thinking, oh, Arjuna's really like in a lot of anxiety here, but I'm kind of cool. I'm just sitting here reading a book, you know. So these, I don't, you know, who understands the full, I mean, I don't. I will tell you. I know I don't. Was a known unknown here. Anyway, so then Maharaj Yudhisthira hear all this. And it wasn't like he just, well, you know, forget all this. Now I'm out of here. You know, no more fun. Everybody's leaving. Party's over. But, I mean, he made sure the state was responsible. Kshatriya, you know, Parikshit Maharaj was, you know, he had been trained up. I mean, we saw this day coming, you know. It wasn't like, he's like Stalin or something who was like boffing all potential competitors. And then there's, you know, I mean, maybe not Stalin, I don't know. But sometimes you hear, you know, and then there's nobody there. And they're gone. And the state unglues. But he had somebody ready to go. Maharaj Parikshit elsewhere. There's this fellow Braja, son of Aniruddha. So everything was, we saw this coming. Things were ready. You know, he didn't like leave everybody in the lurch. He did this ceremony, the Praja Pacha. I looked that up. There is some little ceremony that people do when they're ready to move on in a proactive way, like the quitting household life. But he was ready to go. He was ready to go. And, just gave up his garments, went off to the mountains, you know, to the north, to the Himalayas, this well-treaded path north. This is a program. His younger brothers followed in his footsteps. It says even the queens, you know, you think of the queens as... In a Vedic culture sense, oh, they're so dependent. Women, you know. No, they got it. Draupadi also saw her husbands without caring, you know, okay, without caring for her. Oh, she's so dependent. Sometimes you have a spouse, sometimes it's a guy. You know, so one spouse takes care of everything and it's like, wow, I really don't know how to deal with the books. You know, I don't know what's going on. Who's paying the bills? You know, no, I don't think they were quite like that. I mean, there was a caring relationship, and sometimes when people analyze gender-wise, sometimes they overemphasize one and the other, but I think it kind of goes both ways with a bit of a different flavor. But, you know, the husbands leave and there's no one there, you know, there's no attention, there's no, you know, I'm coming home for dinner, hi honey, I'm home, or conversely from the other's perspective of the gender relationship. So they're all leaving, it's time to go, and it's not like she's freaking out, the son of a guns, you know, she knew well about Lord Vasudev, Krishna, she knew well, Supreme Person Godhead. And both her, she and Subhadra became his, I mean, they got it. They became his thoughts of Krishna and attained the same results as their husband. So they might not have run off, but they got it and they walked in too. So these things are beyond time and space, according to that earlier verse there in this chapter. Are there instructions, their exercises that help get you to that platform? Because that's our natural condition. And nothing against material life, it's Krishna's energy. But if you're misidentifying with something that you're not, it's going to create problems and distress. And, it's like, you know, I think I'm Napoleon. Well, you're going to get locked up in the insane asylum. That's a classic example. But if you think you're, you know, just I'm punching, whatever, you know, ordinary, you know, then it's not such a problem. So if we really lock in on who we actually are and these exercises help with that. We'll get the most, and in human form, we can discuss and consider these things and consider ourselves and consider how we can apply these things and consider where we're at and where we need to go. These are things, maybe animals can do that too, because it really comes from the self, but the human form facilitates that fully, you know, much more fully. We have these facilities, so to take advantage of it. Here we see these people who were very engaged in all the trappings, all the fixings. This is how they dealt with it. So really, hopefully we'll have a much easier time, because I don't think any of us here perhaps have as much to give up in that sense. But this is our example, and something to think about. I'll tell you one thing about getting older. The best thing about getting older is there's fewer old people to tell you what to do. You know, there's fewer of them around. So that's one of the benefits of being older. So, but on the other hand, it's like, you know, you're younger, it's like, of course, you can get bopped at any time. You know, everybody sort of knows that. But you imagine, you know, I got 50, 60, 70 years in front of me. There's a lot of things I could be planning and doing. But when you, like, I'm pushing 60 over the line already, you ain't making plans for 50 years, man. You know, it's like, geez, I wonder if I get 10 more, 20 more. Maybe 30. What's it going to be like? 90? Am I, oh my God, man. You know, it sort of puts you in a different frame as far as time for planning conditional activities. So so old age has its benefits. And so here we are, some of us, and you know what the problem living in Florida? Ain't no mountains here. You don't have any mountains to go off to and renounce. There's no Himalayas. It's all flat. I don't know what we're going to do, but we'll figure it out. But you know, we'll have to, you know, it's coming sooner or later, and we have the human form, and everybody here obviously is thinking about it, waiting to hear. These examples are inspiring and instructive, and I'll end it at that. I wonder if it's like a question or something. Here, hold on. Don't look. No. Last time someone beeped in a question.
I was just thinking how you were talking about the ease of the Pandavas.
The angst? You know,
the ease they had about leaving.
Well.
You know, and also how you were talking about nationalism, how there's a place for that. And I was just reflecting on the introduction to Nectar of Devotion, where Prabhupada describes love as expanding like a ray of light. And he starts with the child who's very attached to the parents with so much love, and then that expands to the siblings and, you know, the cousins and the aunts and uncles, and then to his friend, you know, outwards to the friends, then maybe to the entire community, and then to the greater community, and to the nation, and to the animals, and to the world, and then ultimately the reposing in Krishna. So that's what makes the transition easier, if we are building that love and devotion, right?
Exactly. I mean, in one sense, there's a stretching of the sense of self through those different designations, but you know, without it finding a resting place to land that's permanent, it's sort of like a rocket and it can just drop, you know? So, you know, I was thinking there's a place for nationalism, not so much in the sense we got to get all pumped up with Chinese or whatever the heck we think we are, but that, you know, you're organizing something and you got to get everybody excited to some degree. We're all in this together just to, you know, make sure the lights stay on or whatever. You know, there's some practical, you know, go team go, you know, but I mean, that's just real transitory.
It's a step on the way.
Oh, from a spiritual perspective.
Love.
Yeah, no, definitely. So there's that framework too, where you see in a more indirect way, it's an expanding of consciousness. But I was just thinking something practical, like someone's got to mop the floor. Hey man, you're the greatest floor mopper in America. Go for it, you know, something just to kind of, I mean, you know, we can engage anything, but no matter how expanded your consciousness may be, I'm a citizen of the planet Earth, you know, or I'm a citizen of the universe. or I'm part of Brahma. You know, it's really not the full identity, and it'll have a beginning and end. So it's really not the identity. There is no resting there. There is no full experience in any of these things. And the trauma of it will end, you know, and there's a trauma there, you know, of a misplaced investment. Oh, well, no, I wouldn't do that. Yes, of course. I mean, I wouldn't, that's a selling point, for sure. But, I mean, at least for myself, I mean, it's not like I want to be attached to Krishna, so, life is easier. I mean, I want to be attached to Krishna because that's where the action is. This other stuff's a waste of time. I don't care if it's hard or not, it's still a waste of time. You know, if it's easy, it's a waste of time. So, you know, I'm not so much worried if it's going to, I mean, this is easy to say right now. I mean, it's like, holy cow, I can't believe I said that. Now Krishna's fulfilling my desire. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. But I mean, you know, but at least theoretically, who cares if it's hard or not from someone who's actually fixed? I mean, it's for Krishna, you know, and we're just doing it. I mean, Krishna's there. It doesn't matter. You know, Palamaras didn't care. Arjuna didn't care. He doesn't know that battlefield. Krishna's right there. It doesn't matter. So as a byproduct, yeah, in that sense, it'll be easier. But on another level, I don't think Arjuna was like, oh, this is a piece of cake, man. Oh, you get another arrow? No, that one. It was intense. It was intense. You know, but it was also easy in that, you know, I'm in this together with Krishna, and the end will be fine. He never had a doubt. So even if it is intense, oh, I got cancer, how did that happen? You know, it'll be fine, and it's good. And you know, I'm talking theoretically. Krishna's right there. Balad Maharaj, Krishna's right there. Is Krishna in the pillow? Yep. No problem, Pop. He's right there, pal. You want to knock on the pillow, see if he's there? Go for it.
From Prabhupada's purport, thinking sometime people confuse detachment and irresponsibility. Now if you this morning, if you did not prepare to give the class and you think, well, I'll just go there and somehow that didn't, it turned out very well, but if it didn't turn out well, that's kind of an irresponsibility. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was not irresponsible, but he had a detachment. But they appear same, and people are confused about. Even amongst our community sometimes. Yeah. Some of us. Well, I didn't say everyone, but some of us.
I mean, it's a lot to figure out, and if that's what you're figuring out, that's what you're figuring out. I mean, we're all, you know, everything makes sense when you already got it figured out. And if you're working through it, it's like confusing. I got to work on that and figure it out. So, yeah, sometimes there's renunciation from frustration. Oh, I'll just give it up and somehow that'll be better. But then oftentimes you see that you really haven't renounced the desire. It's just been frustrated. And then, well, it's the next wife or whatever, or the next job, or the next temple. And actually, I was once driving this fella to devotee and this is, you know, 30 years ago, so it was an earlier phase, and, you know, he was having the epiphany. He was older to me, and he had been through a few marriages, and he says, you know what, I finally come to the realization, it's not them, it's me, you know? It's like, I'm bringing my stuff to these relationships, and the same issues keep coming up. So they're different people, but it's the same issues, so, you know, so just renouncing the externals, it's really the internals. And I've also, you know, recently I was reading something or listening to a Prabhupada. Actually, we have nothing to renounce. You know, it's really just this thought in our head. We come with nothing, we leave with nothing. So it's really the consciousness of letting go to things we never really had a connection to begin with. So it's like, wake up and smell the roses. You know, so it's really, you know, it's just like, look at the sun, it's out. You know, this is how it is. And then also, even if you're looking within the framework of, I have all this stuff and I'm giving it up, Yudhishthira's the template, the example, the perfect, you know, the perfect human being here. He, you know, it wasn't like, Oh, phooey. You know, Krishna just left. Who am I going to leave in charge? Oh, what am I going to do? You know, who's paying? I mean, everything was, it wasn't like, you know, these guys were living their life in a very realistic way, and they had everything already set up, so it was easy because we already had it all set up. I mean, at some point, we're going to do this. This is part of the program. And so he made this move in a very responsible way. I mean, sometimes you just can't do it. It's a crisis, and it's like everything's going to hell. I just got to lock in what's the essential thing, and, you know, the house is going to burn down, but at least we'll live to see another day. Where there's life, there's hope. But, you know, here, you know, as a manager, as a king, he wasn't crisis managing from one thing to another. He was proactively managing, and he had the thing set up. So, you know, it's still a bit of, I mean, I'm saying it's easy, but it wasn't easy. You see what these people are going through emotionally. But relatively, they were able to do it in short order, even though it was difficult. They had it set up. They didn't leave anybody in the lurch. And so they did some planning in advance, you know, with the human consciousness, human intent. So that's an example, I think. That's the template to do it. So here's the other thing is, you can't stay and keep doing it. So, you know, it's not a question of, well, should I stay or should I go? You're going to go. We're all going to go, you know, whether we plan for it or not.
But, so, you know, there is a ISKCON ministry teaches this, and they say there is a three-way. Now, what you are explaining one, that out of frustration or experience, whatever, the renunciation that they take, it's not solid. No. Even though they are taking it.
Yeah.
Better than that, if they based on strong foundation of understanding the philosophy and then naturally. Better than that, if they really develop a deep emotional attachment to the devotional service to Krishna. That love will automatically produce detachment. That is the best.
Yeah, that's the real lesson. By becoming Krishna conscious, all these other things happen automatically. You know what I mean? But maybe, you know, we're here trying to exercise the muscle, if you will, or so maybe for someone there is a stage, geez, renouncing is a good thing, and I'm like, I don't know what to do. And then they got to go through that and learn. But so sometimes that does happen, we see it. But at least, hopefully within our culture, you know, there's some, not that everybody's in first grade, and we centralize first grade. But, I mean, some people maybe in first, fifth, you know, but some people, hopefully, are postgraduates and they can guide it, you know, you know what I mean, or professors within that context. And then they can, so they're adults and they can guide it. But there will be, it's natural, there's people going through different things, and for different people, their lesson will take a different shape and form. But hopefully we have a mature culture that can provide some balance and guidance. So, you know, yeah. I was thinking of sannyas. I mean, in one sense, someone should, you know, we say grihastha sannyasis or whatever. I mean, externally they're grihasthas, but internally their consciousness is already where it's at. And so if they should take sannyas later on, whether formally or not, it's really just, you know, whatever. You know, now it's for the benefit of everybody else, you know, that we're doing it, you know, to facilitate.
See, analytical study.